Today on the Southern California Real Estate Report, we talk about parking. Stay tuned.
Good morning. Welcome to the Southern California Real Estate Report. This is Bob McGuire and Daniel Wise coming to you from San Diego, California. Something that's been a topic of previous podcasts that is usually attached to different type of construction projects that we talk about is parking. Parking's an interesting thing here in California. Certainly within our city, a lot of the buildings that are built now do not require a minimum standard of parking. As an example, in the past, if you were building a residential building or a retail building or something like that, there's usually what's called a parking ratio. The parking ratio is usually calculated with residential on the number of units or the total number of occupants. In retail, it's usually divided over a certain amount of square footage. As an example, to make it easy for round numbers, retail, if you're building a grocery store, it might be a parking ratio of 10 to 1. So if you build a box space that's 20,000 square feet, it would be 20,000 times that 10. So you'd be required to have 200 parking spaces, right?
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it's different now. They are eliminating parking, and now the state wants to eliminate parking across all of California. So the idea is, the thought is that it will get people. So there's two things. One, it will help eliminate some of the climate change things, and everything that California does is with the underlying goal of reducing or eliminating climate change, which not a bad thing. But at the same time, with this particular one, it seems, again, like it's a little overambitious. And the idea is that if you're within a certain distance of public transportation, you basically can eliminate more or less all of the minimum number of parking spaces. And so the bill right now is on Newsom's desk to be signed, and people feel like it's going to be signed. The past, standards from the local jurisdictions usually required new homes, commercial buildings to have a certain minimum number of parking spaces. And like I said before, that would depend on various factors. They're saying that whether they have to provide parking or how much in certain areas, that's no longer going to be a government regulatory decision. So it's going to be more of a decision based on the market. If you're in a market like San Diego, where there's access to public transportation within, and there was information, let me find the information, that said, I believe it's within a half mile. So if you're within a half mile of a public transportation stop, you basically could eliminate parking. So as an example, a neighborhood like North Park, right? Probably anything new that gets constructed in North Park could be done without parking. So the thought is that they're saying that parking can cost upwards to $100,000 per space, which means that they're including that in your overall land cost as a development, right?
Right.
So if you're a developer and you're buying a piece of ground, and if you had that minimum ratio attached to it, or at least a standard, like on residential stuff, usually what we see is usually there's one space per unit, right? Whether it's a one or a two. A lot of North Park is kind of that way. In some cases, the older building have two, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that would now be eliminated. So it would allow you to get the same density on a much smaller footprint, and that would save you money. And the idea is that that would then pass through as a savings and make housing costs cheaper.
So, I mean, it's funny. I don't
think that will be passed back to the consumer, personally. I think that when you build the building, the units will be priced on the market rent. And regardless of parking, with or without, in a lot of cases, you and I both know parking, as an example, in North Park runs roughly 125 per space, you would say, would be on the high end, right?
Yeah.
125 to 150. Maybe if it's covered, you can get a little more. Maybe if it includes storage, you would throw that in too. So let's call it as just a round number, perfect world, in an A building, $200 per space.
I find it an interesting topic and an interesting idea, because there's the component of it. Like, if you go to North Park, you go to busy areas, your options for parking are, you good luck finding a parking spot already down in North Park at any busy hour, right? To be honest, good luck finding parking in North Park during the day.
Right.
So I don't know how I feel about this. I feel like there's an argument to be made that it's only going to constrain the street parking that we have even more.
Right.
I think obviously that it's going to constrain. I don't think that's a question mark. I think that's just a fact. It's going to constrain the street parking that we have even more.
Yeah.
In a lot of neighborhoods, not just North Park. I think people are still really heavily reliant on their cars. I don't know how that's going to change. I mean, that's a very good question. We're not quite a dense city like New York, right? Or Chicago or something, right? We're even in those areas, the suburban neighborhoods, which, to be honest, San Diego is built with suburbs. It's not really built like a main. There is obviously, we have downtown San Diego, and
yeah,
we have the UTC maybe is another example, but we're built really spread out.
I think
suburban.
A good way to describe it, too, is everything is kind of accessed through typically the crossing of a canyon, right?
Right. So, I mean, and this is obviously California-based, but if you look at California, if you look in L.A., I mean, L.A., the parking's already constrained. I think there's a benefit to it. I think that's interesting is now the developers or people who are going to be building these projects are really going to have to figure out how much the parking is worth.
So I think that that's a good point. I think that trying to take a city like San Diego, and the idea is, and here's the thing, and this is not a strike against the idea of trying to do this to, you know, further increase the availability of more housing. I mean, these are kind of phase one type decisions that, in my opinion, shows that there's an imperfect understanding of the people that are doing this type of planning, not fully understanding the movement of how people live here in California, right?
Well,
so
yeah.
Manhattan is totally different, and you can be totally self-contained on that island because Manhattan is an island. So it's a north and a south, and there's a lot of in between. There's a train that runs the entire distance, north and south and east and west, making it a lot easier to go to certain places very quickly and efficiently. You can travel many blocks super fast. Here in San Diego, like I said, you've got to cross a canyon. So as an example, if I want to go from North Park to our office in Kearny Mesa, I have to cross the canyon or valley of Mission Valley to do that somehow. And the public transportation is not efficiently set up to achieve that. But it's not the state's fault. It's not the humans that are driving the cars. It's the geography of the state. The state, the geography of the state, the geography of our city is such that it's just not that way. Danielle wants to go out to dinner and lives in North Park and wants to meet her girlfriends up in Encinitas. That's a 30-mile drive. Do you know how long that will take on a bus? It's like, well, I go to Encinitas once a year now because it takes me 4 stops and 8 different bus tickets. And, you know, I mean, they're going to have to completely revamp public transportation. So once again, this is kind of something that there needs to be infrastructure improvements that also go in conjunction with this. And I know they're doing it, but infrastructure projects with government takes decades.
Well,
you know?
And there have been the trams or the trolley stations have been improved. And I don't necessarily like – I don't really know how I feel about this, completely honestly, because I feel like there's so many ways to think about something like this. Because in some ways, okay, so have have parking be decided by the need?
Let the market forces dictate what's needed.
Well,
right?
and that's essentially what this is doing.
Here's the other thing, okay? There are going to be unintended consequences out of this, because this is saying that, you know, then the idea is, well, then nobody will drive cars. But what's really going to happen is everyone will still continue to have a car, but now they're going to have to pay for private parking, like in San Francisco or in New York. People have cars, and they pay for that. Now, you know, some people that live in New York, I know I have several friends that have and do still, and, you know, they rent cars, too, on weekends. And so that's another thing that you can do. But at the same time, I mean, it's not like it's going to eliminate the need for a car. And going to be a higher cost of owning that. So whatever savings you thought you were going to get in housing, you're going to give back if you have a car.
And maybe we're not thinking, like, creatively enough about this. I know that, you know, remember those – I forget what they were called. They probably still exist, by the way. I don't even know. Those cars that you could see on the, like parked on the side of the road that you could, like, an app would open it.
Yeah,
and you'd get in your car. What were they? I forget what they're called.
It was like a go-car.
Go-car
or, you know, BMW had a thing, or Audi had a thing, whatever it was. Yeah.
I mean, I think
you could just walk up and do it online on an app and jump in and drive.
Right.
And then drop it off somewhere and the next guy comes and gets it. Yeah.
Look, there are creative
ways. San Francisco had those. I've used one up there.
Yeah. I've never used one, but it sounds cool.
Yeah. It was easy.
Yeah, and the pandemic
I got dropped off in the city and just grabbed a car on a corner and dropped in and went and then dropped it off, you know, back and took, you know, the public transportation into the airport. So
okay, well, I mean,
it works.
I think that there are creative ways to handle the parking situation.
So what you're saying too is it'll create a new market then, is what you mean. There will be workarounds to it that might come out of it, which I agree. But at the same time, I mean, these are big sort of permanent decisions. When you're building a building with no parking, you know, that's an unfixable choice, right? Like, you can't all of a sudden be like, well, we'll just reclaim parking again. It's like, it doesn't work that way.
It's a very complex issue with a lot of facets.
Yeah, and there's going to be a lot of interesting questions about it. You know, there's some skeptics out there that have their doubts on both fronts. They're saying, and some opponents said the matter should be left up to local government, not the state. So the assembly bill is bill number 2097. It says it does not prohibit parking from being included in these designated areas, but makes it a prerogative of the property owner. A city or county could continue to require parking, but would have to make a convincing argument as to why it's in the public interest.
Okay.
So it can't just be, hey, you know, people want cars, you know. They say that those agencies that would submit written findings that determine lifting the requirement would negatively affect meeting housing goals for low-income residents, seniors, or people with disabilities. An exemption also could be obtained by showing the new rules would burden existing residential or commercial areas within a half mile of the development with no parking.
Okay. So there are regulations.
There are, yeah. There's a building in San Francisco that they're using as an example. It's from Cressley Homes. This would have 433 apartments, but only 52 parking spots, and 6 spaces would be for motorcycles. It would include a bike lounge that could have 212 bicycles. But again, are people really riding a lot of bicycles in San Francisco with all those hills and everything? Is that, I mean, maybe if they're all e-bikes, but
I was going to say,
I mean, the roads are tight. It's super sketchy. I mean, I have a hard enough time driving in San Francisco, let alone navigating that city
I know there's places to ride.
So the proposal was approved by the Planning Commission in June for that building in San Francisco. And then, according to Philip Molnar of the San Diego Union Tribune, 611 Island is rare in downtown, and that it makes a large scale attempt to attract renters to smaller apartments that would want to forego vehicles. So that building is being built with no parking.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess there's a lot going on with this, and I guess we should probably follow up later. I think that there's a lot of projects we'll see in the future that might not have parking. We're already seeing them actually in San Diego quite a bit.
Yeah.
I think that, yeah.
So the interesting thing is that the developers in both these projects are saying they're not having any trouble renting places. It's no surprise given the tight housing market. but wouldn't go short on parking again. So that's going to be the argument that we're going to hear. So, you know, is it something that is this, you know, if the developer's saying, well, I probably wouldn't go short on the parking again, and the city and the state are now getting involved. So it'll be interesting to hear if we ever do get both sides of the story. This is going to be an ongoing thing. We're going to see this more and more, especially in the urban core areas. So something to pay attention to. The real thing is let's see what this creates in net new housing and whether or not the cost of housing goes down. That's what we should pay attention to.
Yeah, I agree.
Thanks for listening today. This has been the Southern California Real Estate Report.